Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So I'd like to try to briefly recap for you the story of one of my favorite works of literature. It's a series of three novels written by that great American writer, Cormac McCarthy, known of as the Border Trilogy. It's three books called All the Pretty Horses, The Crossing, and Cities of the Plain. The story begins with the sort of coming-of-age story of a young man named John Grady Cole. He's a 17-year-old who has just learned that what he had hoped for and dreamed would be his life for the rest of his life, which is inheriting the cattle ranch of his late grandfather, was now no longer a possibility. He would not inherit it, that the land would be sold, and he would be virtually, in essence, orphaned. So he leaves the West Texas plain and he heads south to Mexico in search of his dream of working horses and living the freedom of life as a cowboy. It's a story of love, of loss, of innocence, betrayal, humility, and tragedy. Though the pages of the book are filled with a beauty that is quite unparalleled. In the second book of the trilogy, centers on another young man, a man named Billy Parham, who ventures from his boyhood home in New Mexico in pursuit of a wolf that had been sort of pressuring and terrorizing some local ranches, and he's going to track and to hunt the wolf. So he crosses the border between New Mexico and Mexico three different times, with each crossing bringing further mystery, intrigue, pain and suffering, and ultimately, tragedy. Then the finality of the trilogy brings the two characters together. A short time later, they're working together. They have become best friends on a ranch near El Paso, Texas. Well, this story, too, is filled with great tragedy. After a series of bad decisions, John Grady is tragically killed, and he dies in the arms of his best friend, Billy. Well, the fact that this trilogy is completely fictional actually helps us, I think, in many ways, in a very artistic way, that is, that truth alongside pain and suffering are absolutely connected with the peaks and valleys of the human experience, humanity. Even how when we come to the end of ourselves and we cry out to God in the very depths of our humanness, wondering why, asking why am I here, why has this happened, where is God in all of this? As a matter of fact, at one point, when John Grady is there dying in the arms of his best friend, the novel tells us that Billy was crying as the tears ran down his angry face. And he called out to the broken day against them all, and he called out to God to see what was before his eyes. "Look at this," he called. "Do you see? Do you see?" Friends, there's a reality in those words that is very human, very real, very visceral. The pain is so much like the pain that any one of us sees in the suffering of others and in our own suffering, especially when we come to those times where we want and demand an answer. Why? Why, God? Why? As a Christian, we always hope for a better world. We have a great hope for a better world, for enough grace and for enough mercy that in spite of my own bad decisions, in spite of sins and mistakes and regrets, that we might be able to see one day the actual goodness and mercy of God. There's brokenness and despair in the lonely and unfair world that can and will indeed be fixed, and that our lives will indeed have meaning, have purpose, have value. The story of John Grady and Billy, as hard as it can be because of their bad choices, their sins, their mistakes, the ways they have been sinned against even, their story, as hard as it can be, is a universal story that gives pain and suffering meaning and hope. You may wonder why, and I'll be honest with you, I wondered why a couple of times this week. I'm speaking about pain and suffering when we're talking about and reading the bread of life discourse in the Gospel of John. We may remember that in the reading from last week, Jesus told us that the will of God is for us to believe in Him. That is the will of God, that our faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the incarnate Word, the second person of the Trinity who was there in the beginning, the one who redeems the world, that reconciles sinners to the Father, is of the absolute highest regard. And in order for us to have true life, we must believe in Jesus as the bread that sustains our life. So why then am I talking about pain and suffering while Jesus is talking about life and belief in Him? Well, friends, I don't believe that the stretch is too far for us to connect pain and suffering, need and abandonment as the antithesis of godly belief, truth, and life. John Grady and Billy, along with others that they meet throughout the stories, often talk about God. Often it is questioning God. Where are you, God? Do you believe in God? Why are you here? At one point, Billy asked the question of a wise acquaintance, do you believe in God? To which the answer was, in the godly times, yes. I think most of us can relate to that. It's easy to believe in God in the godly times. Yeah. Even those of us who are the strongest in faith can and do struggle with belief at times. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus tells us, or the Gospel of Mark tells us, that Jesus goes to visit a boy with an unclean spirit whose father begs out to Jesus to heal this boy, to make him be well, to cast out the demons. And Jesus says to him, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately, that father spoke up, cried out, I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus heard the voice of that man's despair. Jesus hears the voice of our despair as well. Even if that despair is quiet to myself, to be kept hidden from others, to see, you know, because I don't want to allow my weakness to be known. When we need it most, the sustaining bread of life, true life, has been given to us by that great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And it was given for free. It was given for us. The hopelessness, despair, pain, and suffering that we endure in this journey that we call life is not left unto itself. The prophets of the Old Testament endured through great pain and suffering and trial. The disciples of Jesus and many Christians throughout the years endured through martyrdom, persecution, death, simply for believing and following in Jesus. And today, we know, because we've experienced it, that we must endure through our own stupidity, through bad choices, through mistakes, through pain, suffering, diagnosis, abandonment, despair. But we also know, because I think deep down we've all experienced it, that we do not endure alone. We do not endure without help. We have the help of the body of Christ. And more importantly than that, we have the help and the presence of God. That great gift of the Holy Spirit that will never leave or abandon or forsake us. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life." Again, we are in the middle of this bread of life discourse, John chapter 6. And over the next couple of weeks, we will begin to see how in Jesus talking more and more and a little bit deeper about true life, about truth itself, about sustenance, about belief, we will see many people abandon him. They will leave him. They will forsake him. They will say, "Enough is enough, Jesus. I can't go along with what you're saying now. That's too much. That's beyond my line." For some, giving up of myself, giving up of my old ways, giving up of my addictions, my secret sins, my self-image, giving up of my own truth is simply too much. It's too hard. I'm not going to do it. It hurts too bad. I don't want to feel the hurt. All I really want to do is ignore those things. Just push them down. Just try to get by. I'll be fine. Painful reality of that is that some of us, when we do that, are headed in a very dangerous, down a very dangerous road of self-destruction. That we don't even realize at times because of the inherent refusal to see myself as the Lord sees me. And to truly give myself over to him. Often we don't even realize, friends, when we choose pain and suffering, need and abandonment over belief, truth, and life. Do you believe in God? In the godly times, yes. Beloved, faith, belief is a gift from God. Belief is the knowledge that no matter my own sin, guilt, disobedience, pain, and suffering, that God is the one who created you, who redeemed you, and sustained you through his own bread of life. The tangible presence and the reality of God with us. The body of Jesus Christ, given to us but not broken, given as the perfection that he will never leave or abandon those who have faith in him. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. He does not leave us. We prayed that this morning in the psalm, that the Lord is near the brokenhearted. We remember, friends, Jesus' own words at the very end, verse 51, what we read today. "I am the bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Belief, practicing that belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, is of the utmost for us to endure through this life. Amen.
I am the bread of life. They who come to me shall my flesh.